You're not supposed to start out speaking by apologizing, but I'm going to anyway. I was supposed to preach last week and got sick. You can still hear it in my voice. But here's the good thing. The sermon that you're going to hear today has had a week's more preparation than it did last week. So it's a better sermon than you would have had last week. Same sermon. So, blessing in disguise. God knew what He was doing getting me sick last week. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your guidance and Your watch care over us. I ask now that You be with me as I speak. Let not a word leave my mouth that's not from You. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had a mentor? A mentor. You know what a mentor is? Somebody that guides you when things get going rough. I've had a couple of them. One of them is a former professor of mine from college. Get into a tough spot, give him a call. I ran into a theological discussion several years ago that I called him and said, "Get me straight. Make sure I got this right." He straightened me out. We spent about 4 hours on the phone making sure that I understood. Another mentor I have is actually my father. And that's kind of cool. Anytime I have something in particular, construction or mechanical or anything that I'm not sure, "Dad, help." And most of the time, he knows about it and can straighten me out. I've only come across something once, maybe twice. He says, "You know, I've never actually done that." So I had to figure it out on my own. All of us have mentors. People we can trust. People we count on. Our sermon today is about Mary Magdalene. She had a mentor. And her mentor was Jesus. We're going to discuss her today. But before we get into the story, there's a couple of things we need to clear up about Mary. The first time we see her in the Bible by name, chronologically, is in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to be all through the Gospels today, so you're going to need your Bibles open. We're going to be in several different passages looking at the stories surrounding Mary. So keep your Bibles handy. But the first time we mention Mary is in Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "And it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, provided for him from their substance." So here's the first time we see Mary. She provides for Christ from her substance. So she apparently was relatively wealthy. And it also mentions that she had 7 demons cast out of her. So we see immediately that this woman is not your picture-perfect Christian. She's not the upstanding. She's had seven demons cast out of her. She's come a long ways. There's something else we need to clear up that is a common misconception. Very common, actually. It is thought by many that the woman caught in adultery in John 8, is Mary Magdalene. In fact, it has been preached that way a long time. First preached by Pope Gregory I, who lived from 540 to 604 AD. So it's been preached that way a long time. However, it's not biblically referenced. There is no biblical reference that Mary Magdalene was the woman caught in adultery. In fact, there's popular Adventist preachers, one in particular who wrote a book, and it was the starting point of his book, titled At Jesus' Feet. No biblical reference. Good book. Great stuff. Not Mary Magdalene. So who is Mary Magdalene? What do we know about her? And a lot of the clarification on this, I'm going to rely heavily on the spirit of prophecy. Desire of Ages is my friend in this one. Big time. In fact, I will give you the references, chapter reference for each section of the story that I bring out. So, where do we see Mary? We do know, through the spirit of prophecy and through some drawing of lines, that Mary Magdalene and Mary and Martha, Mary the sister of Martha and Lazarus, were the same person. That is clear. That does come out as very clear in the Bible. And there's a lot of research there, so if you have questions, it's more than this sermon can handle. But it's there. You have to read it for yourself if you want further explanation on that. But Mary and Lazarus and Martha were all siblings. So where are we going next with Mary? Let's look at Luke 10. And the sermon title is At the Feet of Jesus. And in every circumstance throughout the scripture that we're going to discuss today, Mary is at Jesus' feet. She's at the feet of Jesus. Luke 10, 38 through 42. We'll read it, and then we'll talk about it for a minute. Now it happened, this is verse 38, as they went, that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words, his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So where do we see Mary? And what is she doing? She's at Jesus' feet, and she's learning. She's soaking in his teaching. What can we draw from this? And I've heard whole sermons preached on this, but I'm going to give a little snippet. What can we take from Mary's action? Any thoughts? She knew what was important, okay? Anybody else? All right? I'm going to start with, do you have something? Okay, Mary was seeking the eternal, Martha was fussing. Okay. I'm going to ask a question. Yes. Sometimes we have to put away the busyness of life and learn the Word of God. Very good. I'm going to ask another question, rhetorically. Where do you choose to be? Are you at Jesus' feet? Or are you busy taking care of the good, important things of life? We must worship at the feet of Jesus first. Because if we don't, we have nothing with which to share or serve. We can't do anything, we can't do anyone any good because we have nothing to serve with. That's where we first see Mary, at the feet of Jesus, soaking in his teaching. That's where we must be. We next see Mary in John 11, verses 1 through 44. And both of these two passages come from the same chapter in Desire of Ages. Pages 524 to 536, the chapter entitled Lazarus Come Forth. And John 11, if you know the story, let me just tell it to you rather than read it. It's a long passage. Mary and Martha, you can check me if you want to. It's there, John 11, 1 through 44. Jesus is teaching away from Bethany. And Mary and Lazarus gets sick. And he's sick unto death. Mary and Martha send word to Jesus. Lazarus is sick and he's going to die. Jesus stays where he is for another 2 days and continues preaching. And tells his disciples, all right, we're going to go to Bethany. We're going to go take care of Lazarus because he's asleep. Disciples simply go, well, if he's asleep, then he's going to get better. He has to be more clear. He says, Lazarus is dead. So they travel. There's some events that happen on the way. He heals some other people. They get to Bethany. And Jesus is outside of town, and he sends word into the house to Martha. And Martha comes out and says these words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She then follows it with, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She understood that he was going to be raised again. He was a friend of Jesus. Jesus then said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. She believed he was Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. She didn't quite have the belief that he could raise Lazarus. She wasn't quite there. She didn't know the full extent of his power. She then sends word to Mary. Mary leaves the house, followed by mourners. They're thinking she's going to the grave, to the tomb. But she comes to Jesus. And where is Mary? Where does she end up? Weeping at Jesus' feet. She's weeping at his feet and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's different than the way Mary, the Martha said it. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the mourners weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. He knew they didn't understand, the mourners didn't understand who he was. In fact, some of them were actually his enemies. Because of that, we have the very short verse, Jesus wept. He didn't weep for Lazarus as they thought. He wept for them. The Jews, verse 36, see how he loved him. Some of them, skeptics, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Mary is at Jesus' feet, weeping. We then get the glorious story of Christ raising Lazarus. Roll the stone away. But Lord, he's been dead. He's been dead 4 days. He's going to smell bad. Lazarus, come forth. Take the grave clothes off of him. Mary was at Jesus' feet. Now, I ask again a question. Are we Marthas in this situation? Do we come to Jesus not fully believing he has the power? Or do we come to Jesus on our knees, broken? Jesus, help me. Jesus is moved when we come to him broken, weeping. Jesus mourns when we mourn. Do we do that? Do we mourn when our family, our church family is hurting? Do we mourn with them? Or do we just, like Martha, I know it's going to be okay at some point in the future. Or do we hurt with them? Again, we see Mary. We're going to use Luke 7 for the passage. We could have used Matthew 26, Mark 14, or John 12, but we're going to use Luke 7. The Desire of Ages counterpart is called the Feast at Simon's house, pages 557 to 568. Verses 36 and following. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Now, in the other Gospels, his name is mentioned. His name is Simon. He's called Simon the Leper. So we put these together. He was a Pharisee who got leprosy and then got healed. And because he was healed, he wanted to thank Jesus for that, and so he brought a supper. He created a dinner for him. And they sat down to eat. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. In the other Gospels, specifically referenced as Mary. Mary bought a very expensive box or bottle of perfume, took it to Jesus at this feast, and anointed his feet, weeping, washing his feet with her tears and the oil, and then drying his feet with her hair. Again, we see Mary anointing the feet of Jesus. Now, this passage continues. Verse 39. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to him, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman it is who's touching him, for she's a sinner." Now, how would Simon know that she was a sinner? What was that? Desire of Ages, page 566, says that exact thing. Simon led her into sin. Now, it doesn't say what it is. But we know it was bad enough that 7 demons were cast out of her. Mark actually says that demons were cast out of her 7 times. So whether it was 7 demons at once or a demon that kept coming back, we can't say. But there were 7 demons that left her. And Jesus answered the man, this is Simon, after he said to himself that if he were a prophet, he would know who this woman is, for she's a sinner. She said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." He said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had 2 debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. Now, a denarii is a day's wage. So 500 days' wage, that's basically a year's salary. The other owed him 50 days' salary. It's a good bit of money. At $10 an hour, it's 400, that's, doing the math, 8-hour day, that's $80 a day. at $10 an hour, 8-hour days. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave both of them, $150, the other $500. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And that's really our question. Which loves him more? Simon answered and said, well, I suppose the one who he forgave more. Jesus answered, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed her feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Those who sat at the table began to say, who is this that forgives sins? They said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. We see Mary anointing Jesus for his death. This happens Monday of Passion Week, if my timeline is correct. And the oil, the perfume that was used was that used for kings. And it would be put on them and it would last on them for a long time. Jesus being anointed with this would have still smelled this way before Pilate. When he was beaten, it would have caused it to come out of him more. On the cross, he would have still smelled like the king that he was, because she had already anointed him. Now, Mary had been with Jesus. She'd heard him pronounce that he was going to die. And she was thankful for his deliverance of her. She wanted to do something to thank him. So she anointed him. Are we, like Mary, are we so thankful to Christ for our salvation that we're willing to completely turn away from the world to walk with him? Or are we still holding on to something? Is there something we can't quite let go of? Are we willing to humble ourselves and follow Christ? Because kneeling and washing someone's feet was the job of a servant. She completely humbled herself before Christ. We next see Mary rejoicing at the feet of Jesus. John 20. John chapter 20. Jesus has been crucified. he's been laid in the tomb. And we see Mary in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Desire of Ages, the chapter Why Weepest Thou, pages 788 to 794, tells us that some of the other Gospels tell us that the group of women, which included Mary, Desire of Ages says that there was a group of women, but they were coming from different directions, and Mary got there first. She then saw the stone was rolled away, and she ran and came to Simon. She went immediately to tell the disciples, Simon and John, and they then ran and checked it out. And she followed him back. She didn't know that Christ was raised. She saw the tomb was empty. And she comes back. And again, she's weeping. We pick up the story in verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. Mary's crushed. She's lost her Savior. He died. He was in a tomb, and now he's gone. She doesn't know where. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Desire of Ages mentions, she was willing. She said, I know I've got an empty tomb. Lazarus didn't use it. I'm going to go take him there. If you've taken him away, let me have him. I'll just go bury him. She then says, no, excuse me. Jesus then reveals himself. It says, Mary. She turned and said, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. She recognized his voice when he used her name. Again, she falls to his feet. She's so thrilled. She's rejoicing. She's there to see him. She worships. Jesus said, Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. We see her now excited. She's seen Jesus alive. She's thrilled. And what does she do? Let's see. She came and told the disciples. That's what it says. Do you imagine that she, I'm going to go tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. I'm out of here. Man, she was running. I'm sure. She ran to tell him that he was missing. I'm sure she ran back to tell him that he's alive. She was completely lost when he was crucified. But her immediate response when she found him, when he revealed it, was to fall and worship him. she gladly, hurriedly went and told the disciples that he was risen. But where does that leave us? Do we, knowing that Christ is risen, knowing that he has saved each of us, do we hurriedly go tell others? Or do we sit on our thumbs? And yeah, that would be good. We need to spread the gospel. Somebody should do that. If Christ has saved you, you go tell somebody about what he's done for you. In summary, like Mary, we must spend time at the feet of Jesus, learning everything that he has for us. How? Through study of the book and through prayer. Had a discussion in Sabbath school. It's just a book. It's an old book. It really doesn't, I've read it. So what? The book never gets old. If you had 50 pastors preaching the same passage, you'd have 50 different sermons. There's new stuff in here all the time, even if you've read it. We, like Christ, must come beside those who are weeping. Reassure them that Christ will raise their beloved one in the resurrection and weep and mourn with them. Spend time, mourn with those who are mourning. We, like Mary, must be thankful for the forgiveness of our sins. So thankful we're willing to give everything to Christ. Our time, our energies, our money, everything we can give are His to command. And we, like Mary, must go throughout the world telling of Christ's soon return and his saving power, telling what he has done for you. And if you've been saved from a sin that you can't speak about, like Mary having 7 demons cast out of her, that's just your testimony. You don't know that the person you may be talking to might have the same problem you did, and they're just not telling anybody either. What we have to share, what Christ did for us, is what we have to share. That is the best thing we can share. We started talking about mentors. But as we look at Mary, she didn't just mentor, didn't just have Jesus as a mentor. She apprenticed under him. She learned, she followed, she walked with him. And that's where we must be. We must apprentice under Christ. Because only then will we be able to go forth and make disciples, not to us, to Christ. And that is our commission. Go make disciples. But first, we must apprentice, like Mary did, at the feet of Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the stories in this book, the Bible, that we can get to know you personally through what is here. Father, we want to be like Mary, an apprentice at your feet. Father, I thank you. That is my prayer. That Christ will always be seen living in us. Father, now, as we depart, live always in us as we strive to live with you. Change us. Convict us. Make us move as we have been moved. Thank you for your love. Go with us as we depart now. In Jesus' name, amen.